Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Chulin and Beis, we begin. It's almost at the wide line, so it's three, four lines right before it widens. Nishtabu Reb Tlerisya. Mishnah speaks about an animal who got his bones broken, so the tzlois on the ribs, and if most of them broke, that's another variety of trefa. Now, as we're going to see, we're not speaking about any bone, we're speaking about the ribs, and the main primary ribs, the ones that contain marrow. So of those, we only have a limited amount. We have 11 on either side of the animal. And if a roiv, the majority, breaks, it's a treif, a tenrabon. Elohein roiv tzlois. When we speak about roiv breaking, how is that? Which bones are we talking about? Sheish mikan, v'sheish mikan. So of those, we only have 11 and 11, a total of 22, majority of 22 being 12. So suppose six on either side break, oi, doesn't have to be distributed that way. Oi, achas esrim mikan, achas mikan, 11 on one side, that covers one side completely, and the 12th one on the other side, that makes it a treif. Amaz iri umechetzin klapi shadra, provided that the ribs cracked on the part that's closest to the half, within the half that's closest to the shadra, to the spinal cord, but not on the lower part. We're speaking specifically about the large ones that have marrow. Okay, so of those, we only have 11 on either side. They cracked on the upper parts. And we have a total of 12 cracked. You have a treif. Omar Ula, he says like this. There was a chacham by the name of Ben Zakkai. Rashi says, the first time you heard of him, Le'edana Manoi. Okay, so this chacham tells us. Ben Zakkai Omar. It really depends what happened. All this is regarding breakage, but necru, the ribs got dislocated, pulled out of the sockets, that's worse off. In this case, even if it's just six, b'rayv tzad echad. So, just majority, the most of one side. So one side we said is 11, even six. Makes it a treif. So he's just using this term Brev Sad Echad, so we know that it's six, but it could happen on one side or distributed on, between both sides. The point of the matter is you don't need 12 damage. Even six is an issue because it's dislocated, it's pulled out of the socket, it's the most severe injury. Nishtabru, yeah, when it's just broken. Then we're back to number 12. Berev Shneid Stad. Most of both, which means total of 12, as we said before. So according to Ben Zakkai, ne'ekru is worse off. Rabbi Yechonamar, no, it doesn't really matter. If it's ne'ekru or just broken, either way, you need 12. Bein ne'ekru, bein yishtabru, b'rev shneid stodin. We need a 12. Amarav, another halacha, ne'ekru tzela v'chulya ima. In this case, not only did the rib get dislocated, but even the vertebrae, the chulya, the socket which holds the bone, got pulled out of place. So even if it's just one, it's treif. Amr le Rav Kan, Rav Asi, they asked le Rav, what about nekra tzela mikan of a tzela mikan? So we have one rib on either side, and they're opposite each other, so it's one set, one couple, one on either side, v'chul yel kayemes, but the vertebrae is still intact. Ma, what's there? What's the halacha there? So it's just one rib on either side, and the chulia is intact. Mo, what happens now? Omar Luzi says, ah, this animal's dead. Gistro kam risa, so you're talking about a dead animal? Gistro is like an animal split into two. See, in that area, he has absolutely no support. He's like split into two, he's a dead animal. Of course, it's a novella, let alone a treif. It's metame, it's a... Right? Ask the Gemara, why is Rab responding with such wonderment? Oh, it's a novella. But Rav Nami Gistro Kama, Rav himself also spoke about a similar situation. Right? He spoke about an animal who lost his rib, right? Nekrotela with the chulia, and Rav considered it merely a treifa. It's not kosher, you can't eat it, but it's not metame. So why is that so different in this case? It says there's a big difference. Kikama Rav, Rav was speaking tzela b'lei chulia. He was speaking where only the rib was pulled out of his sock, but the chulia was still remained in place. Really, v'tzela v'chulia ka'amar, says the Gemara. Take a look at Rav's lashon. He says nekra tzela v'chulia. The vertebrae is also dislocated. No, he meant tzela v'chatzi chulia. He didn't mean the entire vertebrae. He meant the rib and half of the vertebrae, like the socket, but not the actual vertebrae itself. That still remained in place. In that case, it's the damage isn't so severe to consider it a dead animal. It is a treifa, but not worse than that, as opposed to this case, which is worse. Says the Gemara, "Bechlal derav kahana rav asi tzela b'lei chulya amri." So, if so, if we already know that if even part of the chulya is gone, it is considered a treifa. So apparently, when they asked the question, it was about something they didn't hear about. They didn't know yet, right? So Rabbi spoke about the tzeli and part of the chulya missing, making it a treif. Apparently their case is speaking that there's no chulya damage at all. Mechlal de Rav Kahana Rav Asi, when they posed their shayla about the double rib, right? One on either side missing. Of course, it's tzela b'lo chulya. They were talking about the rib dislocated, but the chulya was unaffected. Otherwise, they wouldn't be asking a question. They would know the answer themselves from the other halacha of Rav. So imagine, we're talking about just the rib itself being dislocated, one on either side, opposite each other, but the chulya itself, fully intact. And how does Rav respond? Amar Lu, he tells him, Gistra kam risa, you're talking about a dead animal? Well, why did he respond like that? A minute ago, we learned the name of Ben Zakkai, that even dislocated ribs on a grand scale still, at most, at worst, only makes it a treifa. Right? Just had it a minute ago. V'amar ula, Ben Zakkai Omar, right, quotes Ben Zakkai, Nekru, they dislocated, they pull out of the sockets, B'rev Tzadechot, which we learned to mean six. Most of the 11, right? Of one side. The Shtabra, if they broke Brish, it's done you 12. So until you get to six, it's not an issue. And here they're talking just about one on either side. They're told of just two. And Rav is responding with wonderment. What do you mean? It's worse off. It's in the veil. Says the Gemara, Amalach, his answer is like this. We could answer, Hosam Zeshlikinik, it said. There's a slight difference between the two cases. Rav Kahana Rav Asi spoke about a unique case. True, it's merely two ribs dislocated, but they're right opposite each other. The same exact spot in the animal, which leaves the animal with absolutely no support there. That's worse off. And therefore Rav considered it an avela. Whereas the other halacha of Ben Zakkai, speaking about ribs dislocated at random places, distributed throughout the back, that's better off in a way. Really, says the Gemara, from Rabbi Yechna, but Rabbi Yechna is the one who says, he disagreed, he said, even if it's dislocated ribs, you still need the grand total of 12. Now, in order to get 12 dislocated ribs, inevitably you're going to have at least one match, because you only have 11 on either side. So 11 covers a full one side, and the 12 is going to be on the other side, opposite, right, an empty spot, which leaves you one completely empty spot on both sides. And it seems to be only an issue if you have 12, not just one and one, according to Rab. You need both the most of majority of both, which means to say 12. Uberoiv Shneitzon, if you can get to 12, inevitably you're going to have an empty pocket. It's impossible. You're not going to have at least one set. Says the Gemara Hasan Buchan Blasisa, there's still another. There's further differentiation in terms of the extent of the injury. Hasan Buchan Blasisa. In the case of Yechon was speaking that the chulia, the vertebrae, wasn't affected at all. Just the rib was pulled out, but the entire vertebrae, the entire chulia, is still there. Buchna is the pestle. Asisa is the mortar, the rib, which is inserted in the vertebrae, one on either side, right? So there, just the buchna, just the pestle, just the rib has been yanked out. But the socket is still fully intact. So there, it's only a treifa once you have, 12. Despite the fact that there's one set, zek and egzet, it doesn't matter. Here, Rav Kana Rasi was speaking that not only was the buchna yanked out, not only was the rib dislocated, the asisa as well, part of the chulia, the socket as well, part of it was damaged as well. And this says, Rav, look, if it's to the extent that it's one opposite the other, lost its support, lost its chius, and the animal is not only a treif, it's an avela. Ask the Gemara, Yoch Yain Durav. Okay, so if we're speaking about this type of scenario, where part of the chuli went missing with the rib. So let's go back. Wasn't that Rav's, what we explained Rav before? Rav says, Nekrat Tzeli V'chulia Ima, which we explained to mean exactly this type of scenario. The rib with part of the chuli, with the, just the socket part. Rav says, even one renders it a treifa. And here we're talking about, they're asking about two. Why discuss two? Once we know one is already a treifa. Says, Malishmilu the Rav. You're right, they simply hadn't heard Rav's statement. They didn't know that Rav said it. And that's why they asked their question. Okay, if that's the case, then why do they start with two? They should have asked him first a more basic question. First you go with one, and then you go to two, right? So they should have asked. They should have posed their question regarding one rib, as per Rav's halach, which they hadn't heard yet. Why don't they ask him a more basic question before advancing to the double rib? The answer is like this. Their strategy was to pose one question which will gain them clarity on both cases. To save on effort, save on words, just one question that will solve both riddles. Like this. Sabi, they figured, Liboy Menechado, the partial entirety. We'll ask him one question and get both answers in that question. Like this. So that's why they asked about the double rib. Because they figured, if we'll only ask him about the single rib, we'll never know the answer about the double. Why? Hanicha. Truly. If you would say even a single is a treifa, then we know, of course, if it's a double. Koloshke entirety. But, so, yeah, in that case, we would know the answer. But let's say Amar Lang Sheir, he would say it's okay if it's just a single. We still wouldn't know what happens by a double. Akar titati combined, we still have the same question by a double. So that's why they chose to start with a double. Says Gemara Yehachi, hold it. So what did they gain? So now, Hashtanami, Dukobamine Tarti, they posed them the double. It's still not a foolproof approach. Hanichi Amar Luk Sheira. Yeah, certainly if you would say a double is okay, then we know Koshke and Chad, of course one is okay. I mean, if two is okay, one is okay. V'yamar Luk Treifa, but let's say he would paskin that the double rib is a treifa, was still in the dark regarding one. Akati, Chadim, and Bailu. They still wouldn't know what happens if it's just one. So what do they gain? The answer is Sabri, they figured in Cain, if it were so, that even by one it's a treifa, then by his tone of voice, they would discern that. In Cain, Mirtach Karasach, he would be sort of agitated, but in his response, he would give an excited response. Chada treifa, tatim ebaya. If even one is a treifa, of course, it goes without saying that two is a treifa. And that's why they chose to present it this way. We'll ask him about two. If he answers sort of calmly, then we know two is a problem, one isn't. But if he says, well, of course it's a problem, Meaning, even one would be a problem. Why even asking? Why are you bothering about two? So then we know the answer to both questions. So as the Gemara, but in actuality, we see it didn't happen. It doesn't seem like their strategy worked. Look, they posed them the double rib question. He didn't respond excitedly. He did. Even the Ka'amar lo gistra. Remember, he said gistra kamri. So he told about a dead animal. Meaning, even if it's just one rib dislocated with part of the chulya, that makes it a treifa. Certainly, if it's two, that's an avela. This is the rischa that we're talking about. This is the excitability that they were expecting. So now we have an answer to both questions. One is a treifa, two is an avela. Okay, let's recap the sugya of the broken ribs. Mishnah learns, Nishtabru Reiklaiseh makes it a treif. We learn that there are 11 on either side, big, chunky ribs with the marrow, and the crack occurred on the upper half. Now, if it's just cracked, we need at least 12. What about dislocated? So a clean dislocation without affecting the actual vertebrae. There we had Ben Zakkai, who says even 6. Rabbi Yochanan says you still need 12. If part of the chulya is dislocated as well, if it's even a single rib, treifa, if it's a double across each other, that's even worse, that's an avail. Amar Rabba Bar Avshila, Amar Rab Masna Mashmo. 3 halachas regarding treifa, nekro selam yikara. If the rib was dislocated from its socket, number 2, v'gilgoyla shenech b'sa beruba, the skull was mostly crushed, v'basa chavis ra'keres berubai. Number 3, most of the basa around the stomach got ripped, it's a treif. Let's analyze one by one. Nekro selam yikara treif. V'raminu v'abakasha, we turn to our base. Kama chesaron b'shadra. This relates to the halachas of tumah, so we have a mace, and a, which is metame, anything under the same roof, provided his skeleton is pretty much intact, including the skull, including the backbone and the vertebrae. How much is going to be missing to disable the activate the tumah? How much in the shedra must be missing? Until you're missing two vertebrae, it's still metame. So only if it's missing two chulyas does it lose its tumah. The machmer, they say, they're lenient. They say even if it's just missing one chulya, it lost its form. And it's not metame b'oil. That's halacha regarding tumas oil. V'amar v'yidu, amar shmuel, the same shmuel that we had a minute ago, right? V'chin le'treifa, the same exact model applies to treifa. Once the backbone is missing, one chulya according to Beis Hillel, that's a chumra, or until two chulya is according to Beis Shammai, right? So at that point, there becomes a treifa. No, so what do we see from here? That treif only happens if it's missing a chulya. And here the same Shmuel tells us, even the dislocated rib itself, without affecting the chulya, is already a treif. Says the Gemara, hocha tzela b'lei chulya, hasam chulya b'lei tzela. Yeah, we're talking about two different things, two different scenarios. The earlier Shmuel was where the tzela got dislocated without the chulya. That's enough to make it a treif. Here, we're speaking on the part of the back that only has the chulya. Now, towards the back, you only have, towards the tail, there are chulyas, right? And the spinal cord is embedded in the chulyas, which sort of run a straight track all the way to the tail. In the midsection of the animal, you have the ribs. But towards the back, there are no ribs, no bones coming out of the vertebrae. It's just vertebrae, a line of vertebrae. If it's a chulya, it doesn't have a tzela, then in order to make it a treif, you have to be missing the chulya, right? How many chulyas? So, according to Bissel 1, according to Shammai 2. So, as a more bishlam itself, I can understand you could have a rib dislocated without affecting the chulya, yeah. Ela chulya b'le tzela, how could you have a chulya missing without a tzela missing? Aren't they connected? Bishili kafli. Yeah, towards the back of the animal, kafli, the folded, the flank and the sides. So towards the back there, You have chulia, it's without a tzela, and that's what the that's what this halacha is about. Mask of Rav Isha. According to Rav Shmuel's model, that you apply the same formula. The same formula that's applied by the halacha of metame of meis, Shammai say it's tummy until it's missing two chulios. Basically, it'll say even just one chulio missing disables the tumma. The same thing applies to treifa. So really, the tables turn. Now, b'silul amachmer, right? Could they say until, as long as it's missing just one chulia, he's in danger. He lost his you know, skeletal integrity. He lost his backbone. If that's the case, if so, it should be cited, it should be listed amongst the unusual instances where Beishamai are the ones that are lenient, Mesila Machmer. Very unusual. This is discussed in Mesechas Edyes. Typically, Beishamai, Sfarim explained, Beishamai were rooted in more in Midas Hadin, the strictness of the law. They tended to be Machmer. That was their approach to Torah, that was their chelik of Torah. Basil were more inclined to midas hachesed. That's why generally they're more lenient, more makel. There are some exceptions, very few, and this should be amongst them because, yeah, you're right regarding tuma. Regarding that question, based shamay ar machmer, until it's missing two chulias, it's still metame. But regarding treifa, it turns around. Bishamay, the ones who says who say until it's missing two chulias, it's still healthy. But still say no, even one chulia makes it a trait. Says the Gemara, Amrlei Ravs. He says like this: Ki itchel inyan tuma itchel. This question was posed regarding the tuma question. So within the context of the tuma question, the havel bisham lechumra bishamay amachmer. But you're right. Technically, it will manifest in the reverse if we're discussing treifa. But that wasn't really the context of the discussion of Beis HaMedrash, and that's why it's cited in this fashion. Next item, Gugelish Nechbis of Aruba, mostly crushed skull, renders it a treifa. Boy, Rabbi Yirmi, I have a question. Rav Goiva, most of the height, so the front of the face of the animal veering upwards, right? That's the Goiva, the height. Most of that, or Rav Hakeifa, or most of the circumference, which is a big area, you need more. Take it, we'll leave it unresolved. Basa Chepis Rav Keres Barubai, most of the bus around the Keres. What does this mean? Brave Karua, mostly torn, makes it a treifa. Brave Notel, it means to say mostly taken away, gone. Well, so just let me this none. Why can't we resolve it from our Mishnah, where it says, Keresa Pini Mishnah Nikva, the inner stomach got a hole, makes it a treifa, Shnikurat Chetzain, and most of the outer one was ripped. Vam Marava, in Marava they quoted Mishmed Rabbi Shechnina, Kala Keres Kulay, so Keresa Pini. What, how do we define Keresa Pini? The whole regular stomach. What's considered the outer stomach? That's the flesh that enwraps it. And Mishnah says, merely being torn makes it a treifa. There's your answer. Says the Gemara, midu time lishmo, but our question over here revolves around Shmuel, because Shmuel is the one who gave us this rule that the basar achayves re'akeres got damage beruva, it's a treifa. So relating to Shmuel, now Shmuel himself had a different pshat in the Mishnah. According to this pshat, you're right. The Mishnah is talking about this very same place, basar around the keres, mostly torn, right? But according to Shmuel, keres hachatzoyin is a different area altogether. So it's not even discussed. The basar around the keres is not discussed in the Mishnah. El Shmuel, we have Hachi Amar Yaakov Rachmeinam Shmuel Mokim Shem by Melas. He learned that the keres ha-pnimis in the Mishnah is the part of the stomach that has no fibers, and the rest is called keres ha-chitzoyna, not the basar around the keres. So it's a totally different limb than what we're talking about here. We're talking about the basar around the keres, which is ruboy, and on that we still have a question. What does he mean? Mostly torn or mostly gone? Next item, drusas ha-sa'if. An animal attacked by a wolf who injected his venom, Rashi says the eres, perhaps it's rabies, that poisons the animal and makes it a treifa. Amar Abidu Amar Rav, the behema, and it's Eva Lamala. In talking about an animal, a behema that was attacked, it's only going to be a treifa If he was attacked by an animal, which has the ability to harm him. Anything from a wolf going upwards. But an animal, an attacker of a lesser significance than a smaller than a wolf. So from a wolf down is going to be ineffective in terms of harming his behemoth victim. But if it's regarding a bird that was attacked, anything from a nates, from some say it's a hawk, from that size upwards, as opposed to what? What are we ruling out here? Are we ruling out a cat? So you have a sheep attacked by a cat, that's not going to make it a treifa, that's what he means to say. Tanina, of course, we learned that in the Mishnah, Drusa Zaev. Only behemoth that was attacked by Zaev is considered a treif. Apparently a cat doesn't have that ability. Perhaps you can't really see that in the Mishnah. Because Hakamash, the point of the Mishnah is not to teach us to rule out a cat. Rather, the Zaev Bagas and Amidor, the point of the Mishnah was to highlight that even a Zaev, a wolf, has the ability to do the same, even by a Gasa, by a large size behemoth. That's the point of the Mishnah. But that's incorrect, says the Gemara about Tanan. We have a Mishnah. The Rabbi that rules that out. He says a Zaev can't harm a big animal. Rabbi the Omer, Drusa Zaev. But Doc, only a light animal attacked by Zaev is a problem. Drusa Zareba Gasa, by a large animal, has to be attacked by a lion. Okay? So, apparently our Mishnah is not coming to render a large sized animal attacked by Zaev as a treifa. Rather, the Mishnah cited Zaev to tell you anything below that, anything with less power, anything that's lighter than Zaev, is ineffective. So what's the point of Rav teaching us the same halacha that's already discussed in the Mishnah? Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda's distinction between the Zaev and the Daka, and the Ari and the Gasa, that's his own personal opinion, in disagreement with Tanakama. And perhaps again, Tanakama, he's not coming to rule out a cat, rather he's just trying to emphasize that a Zaev is considered effective even by a large animal. Really? V'amar Rabbi Yamin, Bar Yevas, Amar Rabbi Lo, like Bar Rabbi Lo, El Lefarish Divrei Chachamim. No, Rabbi is not disagreeing, he's just trying to explain the Tanakama, he's trying to explain the Chachamim. So again, back to square one. All agree that a Zaev is only effective by a Daka. So why does the Mishnah refer specifically to Zaev to tell you that's the starting point? Anything below that, like a cat, will not be effective. Gavra, Agavra, Karamas, you're asking one person or the other? Yeah, Rabbi Yamin ben Yefes' take on it was that Rabbi just explained Tanakama, but perhaps Rav disagreed. Rav learned the Mishnah differently. According to Tanakama, Zaev can be considered a treif even by if he attacked a large animal. And that's the point of the Mishnah. And perhaps the Mishnah is not trying to rule out a cat. And that's why Rab needed to tell us that in fact a cat is not effective. Yeah, truthfully, the mission is coming to rule out a cat. But still, Rab had to teach us that point. Why? All the time, perhaps from the mission itself, I can misunderstand, I could think, that perhaps the reason why the mission referred to a wolf is because that's, you know, a more common scenario that a wolf would attack. So he's just, you know, referring to commonality. But Kamashmon comes Rav and says, no, actually, it's very specific, very exact. Only a wolf, up and upwards, can be considered a matrif, one that makes a treifa by a behemoth. But anything below that, such as a cat, is not considered effective to the point that he will render the attacked animal, the victim, as a treif. Okay, continues the Gemara on this topic. Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Chizda, regarding the cat question. Drusas Chasul, an animal which was attacked by a cat. Unamiya, Rashi learns to mean Martirina. says it's a type of chaya. So if these animals, these attackers, attacked a goat, begdoyim, utloim, goats, or a sheep, then in fact the victim is considered a drusa, and the attacker is assumed to have injected this lethal venom. And by the way, when we speak about injecting venom, there's a whole discussion about how this applies nowadays. In fact, Rav Aryeh Carmel had discussed this with Rav Dessler, the author of Michtam Eliyahu. He says, how does this jive with what we know today? Because today, all this discussion which we have about venom being injected, and we'll see later, depends on how enraged the attacker is. There must be awareness to it. We'll see in tomorrow's Da'at Be'ez Hashem. So it's not just like some sort of transfer of germs. It's like some sort of injected venom. And as we know today, this is not really. Doesn't seem to be the case, except for exceptional, a snake or whatever. But otherwise, a cat and a weasel, and they don't seem to have this ability to inject venom. And he discussed it with his Rebbe at great length. And there's some discussion about perhaps it referring to a more spiritual, some talk about that. But in any case, even if things have changed today, which perhaps they did, so perhaps the teva, these creatures have changed, have been altered, they don't have this venom-injecting capability, but nevertheless, the halacha stays the same. There are many reasons for treifa. It's not just the physical manifestation of the illness, of the wound, of the defect. There's deeper than that as well. So whatever was established and determined to be a treifa in the time of Chazal, even if it would appear to us that scientifically things have changed and are not the same as then, nevertheless, the halacha remains the same. Okay, so back to our story. We have a drusas chatula namiya b'gdoi mitloi. So by agdi, by atle, which are lighter animals. So within the light animal family, these are the lighter ones. It's not a mature goat, a mature ram. We're talking about, she calls them dakim shabadaka, right? The more sensitive, more delicate of the daka category of animals. And we're going to see later that even Rav Chisda would agree when it's a ayil, when it's a rachel, a more mature sheep, then of course it's unaffected by a cat attack. But gdoyim utloim, which are daka shabadaka, the lighter of the light, they are considered drusa, they become a treifa when attacked by even a chasul or an amiya. Regarding a bird that was attacked, drusa schulda by an oif, even a drusa schulda, just a weasel, attacked by a weasel, that also has a drusa effect, and drusa means it turns into a treifa and it's ostra. Mesvi, here comes a kasha. You're saying that a cat has the ability to make a drusa, to inflict lethal, venom and lethal, have a lethal effect on its victim. Meisve, drusa chasul, okay, attacked by a cat. Nates, which is a hawk. Unamiya, this other namiya creature. So in all these cases, they do not render their victim a treifa. Achatid nokev lechalal. The issue is only simply because of the actual wound. The puncture. Puncture makes it a treifa. So if the puncture reaches the halal, the cavity, inside in the intestines, then it's like any other hole. But it's not related to the clawing. It's not relating to the animal attack, to the venom or the germs or the rabies, whatever it is, right? Ava drusa, but the drusa status, less though, they don't have. Unlike Rav Chisda, who says even a cat can make a drusa, but Tisper says, well, what do you mean? How could you suggest as such? Nates leidaris? You mean to say that a nates does not make a drusa? But now we have a mishnah, drusas and nates. Clearly, a hawk can make a drusa. Like kasha. Oh, that could be answered very simply. Depends what he attacked. A bird or an animal. Kamba Eifes. The Mishnah back on then, Daf Membeis, that considers a Netz as one who can make a Treifa. That's when he attacks a bird. So his venom can affect the bird to the extent that it's a Treifa. Kamba G'doim V'tloim, he was talking about goats and sheep. And therefore, the Netz is ineffective. But in any case, the Kasha comes back on Rav Chisda, who says that even a cat can make a Drusa, and here it says not. Has Rav Chisda reconciled this Braisa? Says the Gemara, you're right, there's a machlaikas. The Braisa holds a cat can't, but Rav Chisda follows a different opinion, who says that sometimes a cat could. Hudamakai Tana. He goes with the following Tana, the son of Baribi, the great Gadol. Some say that was his name, some say it was just a reference to the great of the generation. In any case, Oymar, his opinion is that in terms of a chasul, a cat, making a drusa, it really depends on his level of agitation, which will prompt him to inject a greater measure of venom into his victim. Le'am drusa, el mokim she matzilim. When do we say that a cat does not make a drusa? Does not infect his prey. That's only b'makom she'im atzilim, when there's no rescuers, there's no opposition, he's not being opposed by anybody. The cat, the attacker. So he doesn't come in strong, he comes in, you know, in a more benign way. B'makom she'im atzilim, but if he's confronted by a defender that agitates him, and yesh drusa. In which case his clawing has a drusa effect. Okay, so according to this approach, regarding a chasul, some say there's no drusa, some say, well, it depends on his level of, you know, ferociousness. Says the Gemara, Makom Shei Matzilin ain't drusa. So even according to this opinion, you agree that if there is no matzilin, he comes in calmly, he does not make a drusa effect. We have a story. There was a chicken, that boy bear of Kahana, of Kahana's household, the Ra'at Chasul Basra. So chasul, a cat, took chase. Ladruna, the chicken, escaped into a room. The dasha door slammed in the cat's face. And the cat, on the outside, was banging the door with his claws. So he hit it with a palm, and then we find five blood marks on the door. And Rashi says, that's the eres, that's the venom that we're talking about. Apparently, he produces venom even though he's not being confronted. Oh, says the Gemara, the fact that he had a door to break through, that excited him, enraged him, and produced that that venom. Hatzolas atzma. The chicken trying to save itself behind the locked door. Nami, that too is katzal tzachem dam, as though others have interfered, meaning that enraged the cat and brought about this result. Katzal tzachem dam. V'rabon, now the rabbon who say that a cat is not considered lethal in this respect. What happened to the fact that we found these marks? Ziyare isla, yeah, it has some level of venom. But like kali ziyare, the ziyare, it's venom. It's not kali, it's not burning, it's not strong enough to infect his prey. Igadam, there's another version which flips this whole thing around. Rav Kahana is the one who said, Rav Chisda, that a cat can make a drusa. And the question was, we have a brisa which seems to say it can't. Igadam says, some say, Hamani Baribi, that brisa is going like Baribi. Sometimes it could and sometimes it can't, depending on its level of excitement. Whereas the other sheet of the Chachamim, to which Rav Chisda concurs, they hold that a cat can always infect its prey. But the Braisa, Hamani Baribi, is going to Baribi, who says, depends one. Baribi he desanya, Baribi aimer, lo yom reish drusa, mokam sheish matzilin. When do we account for drusa? That's only when there's opposition, which enrages the attacker. Ava welcome shei matzil, but there's no matzil in the area. Ein drusa. He's not as agitated. There's no drusa. Really, welcome shei matzil, ein drusa. When there's no matzil, there's no drusa issues. Well, here tarnagoy, that's the same story. The chicken, right? They ran away. That we're from Ghana's home. They were chasvasrov, which was traced by a cat. Sound like Chad Gadya. Va'aledruna v'itel chadosh v'apei. Door got slammed. Machadosh was a chufa. He whacked the door. They found the blood on it. The mark of the venom. Why? The answer is hatzolas atzma nami ka hatzolas achirim dami. The fact that he was escaping and giving the attacker a hard time, that had a similar effect on the attacker, enraged him, agitated him, hence the presence of venom. Okay, so regarding the cat question, we have machlokes. So according to one version, some say never, and some say sometimes. According to the second version, some say always yes, and some say sometimes. Boy minei Rav Kahana, hey Rav. Oh, same question was posed to Rav by Rav Kahana. What about this cat? We turn to the next amud. Yesh derusa lachasul, or ederus lachasul. An animal which was attacked and clawed by a chicken. What's the status? Is it considered drusa? Is it a treifa or not? Amar Lazy says, not only a cat can do drusa, even a chud, even a weasel. That was his first question and answer. He asked him a series of questions. Next question was, yesh drusa l'chuda? What would you say about a chuda that attacks? Does that make drusa? Or yesh drusa l'chuda, perhaps not. Amar Lazy, this time he says, just the opposite. Afal chasul ein drusa. Not only is a chuda deemed ineffective, a cat as well, which seems to be contradictory to what he just said a minute ago. Third question. This time he asked both. What would you say, lechasul ulechulda? Both. Yesh lehen drusa, or yehen drusa? Did it make drusa or not? Amar Lazy says, it depends. Depends. Lechasul yesh drusa, lechulda yehen drusa. Cat, yes. A weasel, no. How do we reconcile this whole conversation? Lekash, the answer is like this. Depends on his prey. It depends who he's attacking. Hoda amar Lazy, af lechulda yesh drusa. So the initial answer, which was that not only a cat, but even a chulda can make drusa, but eifais, that's when he attacked the bird. Due to its fragility, it's affected even by the chasul and the chulda. But then when he said, af l'chasul ein drusa, that both, no, b'imir ravari, talking about larger size animals. A big sheep, right? That will be unaffected by this little cat. Hada amar le chasul yesh drusa, b'chulda ein drusa. When he said, well, cat yes, chulda not, that is referring to b'gdayim atlayim, thinner animals, many animals, a little goat, a little sheep, and due to their smallness they will be lethally impacted by the relatively smaller measure of venom exuded by these mini attackers. Okay, let's leave it at that. Let's recap today's daf. So we had a discussion regarding the broken ribs, total of 12, the upper part of the rib with the marrow, dislocated ribs. So if it's with part of the chulya, even just one rib would be considered a treifa. If it's one opposite the other, so two as a pair, it's even worse. We discussed the missing chulya. According to Basil, even one missing chulya makes it a treifa. We discussed the animal that was clawed by the ze'ev. And we discussed the animal that was attacked by a chasul, by a cat. Conclusion was, really depends on the size of the victim. Larger animals are unaffected, but smaller animals, that's given to machlekes. According to some, a cat can make drusa. According to others, it can't. And according to others, yet, it depends how enraged and agitated the attacker is. All the best to you, and atzlachah.